have a fun surprise for you today. My name is Cynthia Davis, and I'm helping Kevin Walter talk about True Wealth. Today I get to interview him. We're going to talk about Keynesian and Austrian economics, debt, and what is the best investment. Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. A little bit about the IRAs, and I heard you mention on a previous show that people can use gold and silver for their IRAs and retirement. Explain that one to us.
You can use, there's a, actually, to just briefly, there's a lot of things you can put in an IRA. People don't realize you can set up a trust, which sounds complicated. It's simple. It's just like opening up a bank account. And precious metals are allowed in an IRA or a 401k or whatever. You actually own physical coins. You actually own specific physical coins that are held in trust, and we handle all that. And you just buy the metal. You essentially, if somebody wanted to roll a 401k over, they could contact us. We can explain to them how to do it. The money goes into a trust or just an account for practical purposes. At that point, a date is picked where funds are issued, metals are approved by the customer, signed for. That can be done by, well, at one point there has to be a actual signature that can be done through FedEx or whatever, but originally it can start out with faxes, and then they actually approve the product and the price. At that point, they own it as a physical product, so they actually own the product in their 401k or IRA, and it's under extreme lock and key, like underground with five, you know, class 3 bomb-proof doors and literally a nuke-proof facility.
An armed guard standing in front of it?
So armed guards, but when you have a nuke-proof facility, the walls are much more satisfying than the armed guards. But then they actually have them, the trusts are set up where they literally have to take armored trucks through a series of five chambers to get to the unloading point.
Amazing. Yeah, but you don't have the satisfaction of being able to physically see your coins.
That is very true. You don't physically own it, but, you know, the concept that I always say to that is, you know, when you own a stock or a mutual fund, you really don't know what you own there either.
That's true, except that if the government ever wanted to confiscate your 401k, guess what? You have no way to protect it.
Well, that applies to both sides of the argument, whether it's in paper or, you're saying if they wanted to confiscate gold?
Yes, like they've done before.
Well, the term confiscation is a term that was applied later. They bought the gold, but what happened at that point, we were on a gold standard, and our U.S. government had issued about 33-to-1 gold bank, gold-backed notes to the gold in reserve. It was a huge Ponzi scheme that was going to explode in their face when foreign nations started calling their gold due. So what they did is they started to make this patriotic move, hey, bring your gold back, and they were using it to pay off foreign debt and as well as fleecing the wealth of the American people. We're no longer on a gold standard. They used the gold standard, FDR did, who pushed rules and regulations like no one until our recent president, and he used the gold standard to kind of push an executive order through to do that. There were coins that were exempted. Any U.S. legal tender face value coinage dated that date or earlier, so all the gold coins that were circulating at that time remained exempt from confiscation. But we are no longer on a gold standard, and they no longer have any claim. At that point, it would be Naziistic theft. At this point, there's no, they have no claim. We have no, there's no, vesting in gold at all in this nation. Now we're done. We're out of the gold standard. Everything we make now is just toilet paper.
And that is the very reason why people are concerned about buying bullion as opposed to old coins. They're, whether it's true or not, maybe you can dispel it if it's a myth, but I have heard that if you have bullion, it's more likely to be confiscated because the government can seize your records, whereas if you buy older coins, and especially if you pay cash for them, who would ever know?
Well, yeah, like I just said, from my perspective, there's, you know, people that are peddling that aren't as up on it as they should be. Like I said, they have the only grounds they would ever have for confiscating gold would just be outright theft. They have no claim left. Gold standard is dead and gone. They have no claim. There's no ground to stand on. And the gold was not confiscated. It was bought back. They didn't just come and take it. They actually paid the fair market value for it. But, again, we're off of that. Now, you know, that's, and a lot of people use that, whatever you want to call it, to sell pre-33 numismatic coins. Now, pre-33 numismatic coins are a terrific investment. They really are, and this is where people get confused. A lot of those companies that are pushing that really hard are transitioning people to the older coins in some cases so that they can charge too much. And that has a lot to do with the commission-based salespeople. And then when I tell people that, a lot of times they say, well, then I'll just completely stay away from them. No, that's just foolish, because they far outperform the precious metals over time. When we saw, you know, back beginning of last, or spring of last year, there was a big manipulation move in the global markets by the central banks messing with gold. As they started to push bullion down, the pre-33 U.S. gold coins continued to climb up. So you can make money on them twofold. One, in the bullion market. Two, you can make it on a collectible supply and demand market. If people are afraid of confiscation, like you said, it's not the reason that you used of the cash, that's all good. But the reason that they say they're non-confiscatable is because, like I said a minute ago, they were always exempt from the confiscation. The executive order made all pre-33 dated U.S. gold coins exempt from confiscation because they were legal tender face value coinage. And our country has never obsoleted its face value coinage ever. That's one of the things that makes the dollar so desirable. We're one of the only nations on earth. We've never had a currency devaluation. We've never had a currency swap. We've never had, you know, any kind of an obsolescence. And that's one of the things that, even though the dollar's crazy, you know, and inflating beyond people's dreams, despite the fact that the consumer price index tells them otherwise, that's a deceptive index as well, the dollar is still respected, and it's also, you know, the world reserve currency because it's used on all the oil bourses.
Great. Well, we understand about gold and silver, but why would anybody buy platinum or palladium?
Well, platinum is an industrially driven metal, and when we sell it, we sell a small portion, like as a small percentage of a portfolio. It's industrially driven. There's platinum in every high-speed and high-heat electronic and mechanical device on Earth. Every automobile has it in the catalytic converters. Every high-speed or high-heat electronic has it. It's used in aircraft like crazy. It's used in all kinds of chemical labs, and it's so resistant to every acid on Earth. It's obviously used in jewelry, and the actual above-ground reserves of platinum are flat, zero. There are no above-ground reserves. So it sits right now around roughly $1,600 a troy ounce or $1,500 a troy ounce. Just a few years back, it was almost $3,000 a troy ounce, just in a very short period of time because it dried up. Palladium is a sister metal to platinum, and it's very similar in its properties, and it really is a shadow to platinum. Palladium can be used in replace of platinum, but the problem is a lot of times it requires a remachining of equipment and stuff, so they're not very nimble in the transition. So palladium, more speculative. Sometimes it just goes up based on speculation. Platinum's done well over the years.
So do you have palladium or platinum in your personal investments?
I personally have one 10-ounce palladium bar, and I actually have a fair amount of platinum, but I have my platinum in my own personal investment in some of the American Eagles. There's a lot of the American Eagles that they made in platinum are pretty low mintage, so they fall into the semi-numismatic category we're talking about, and over time they have picked up they've continued to increase in their collectible value as well. You know, the platinum value has gone up, you know, whatever, 10% a year, but the collectible value has gone up about another 10% per year.
You said American Eagles, but what about the foreign coins like the Swiss francs and the sovereigns and the South American?
We find a lot of people trading out of a lot of those foreign coins, and a couple of the reasons are, one, they don't say they're gold anywhere on them. They obviously, if they don't say they're gold on them, they don't say how much gold is in them. And they have very awkward amounts of gold. Like a Swiss 20 franc has 0.1867 troy ounces in it. If people have a quantity of that, it's virtually impossible to do the math in your head of what you actually own. Sovereigns are 0.2354 troy ounces. We recommend more even weight stuff, 10th ounce, quarter ounce, half ounce, things like that, American. And the other thing, one of the other deceptions in the Swiss and French 20 francs and sovs is that, again, the commission-driven marketing companies, they'll tell people they're non-confiscatable. Well, technically they're right. Right now nothing's confiscatable, but they'll imply that during the confiscation, because they were dated before 1933, they were not confiscated. That is completely incorrect. All foreign coins were confiscated during that period of time, and a lot of it was just to pay back foreign debt. So if people are afraid of the confiscation and they have 1915 dated foreign coins, you know, again, I don't believe there's any chance of a confiscation other than just Naziistic theft with Sherman tanks. But if people are in that vein of thought, they didn't survive the first time and they wouldn't survive the second. And again, we say if you're going to be trading or ever holding stuff to barter with people, it's not marked. If you go to somebody who knows nothing about gold and you want to trade them for a side of beef or an ATV or a horse or whatever, and you throw that coin on the table, they don't know if it's gold or brass or what it is. That may not be what you wanted to hear. But we do, a lot of the marketing companies push them because they act like they're numismatic. They're not. They're strictly a bullion coin. They'll mark them up. And we see a lot of people trading those out. And just getting into, you know, there's basically no fee, just getting into the even weight stuff that they know what they have.
We haven't quite touched on the minimum wage yet, but there was a chart going around Facebook recently that said in 1964 the minimum wage was 5 silver quarters per hour. Today, those 5 quarters are worth about $26.21 in melt value. We don't need to fix the minimum wage. We need to fix the money. Can you give us your thoughts on that?
Not to negate that, but the actual 5 silver quarters would have about a little less than about 0.36 troy ounces in them. So technically right now, but silver's down. Right now, those coins are trading at about $8.50. But that's with the metals being down, so that kind of negates that. I think sometimes a better example is, you know, there's all kinds of things where they'll say, you know, what you could buy with a silver dime. You know, it was gasoline, and of course now they've artificially manipulated the metals down temporarily, and of course gasoline's going up. The bottom line is, since the deregulation of metals in 71, gold and silver have gone up, you know, roughly 3,000% or something like that. And it almost aligns exactly with the amount of monetary inflation. So the whole concept of gold and silver is that monetarily, there's all kinds of numbers that people crunch. They say liars figure and figures lie. And like I said, I have a Bachelor of Science degree in mathematics and statistics. as an actuary, I know how to do it very, very well. And so there's some very wise people that control consumer price index and whatnot. We talked about that the other day, that they've excluded the major sectors of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs from their calculation of the consumer price index, which is what comprises about 85% of people's disposable income. They've done that to show a lower inflation figure. So if you compare to the CPI, it looks like metals have outperformed inflation. But in reality, if you look at, you know, the definition of inflation is monetary inflation. It's an increase in the money supply. If you look at the increase in monetary creation, paper money, and you look at the growth rate of precious metals, it is literally, over time, it's almost a shadow graph. You're going to see fluctuations because, again, there's some serious manipulation. Now we're in a strong down cycle, coming out of a down cycle, but the answer is yes. Precious metals, from the beginning of written human history, have always been the pinnacle form of wealth. They've always bought the same thing. You could always buy, like, the average acre of land for a $20 gold piece. You know, right now, a $20 gold piece is $1,500, you know, just an average acre of, you know, whatever, farmland or whatever. There's, you know, they've equated it to a horse. I've heard people equate it to a suit and tie and belt and shoes. I've heard, you know, the comparative of a of it to, you know, a night's hotel and a couple meals. And no matter how they slice it, it essentially, the point of precious metals is that if you can buy, if you have $1,000 today and you buy $1,000 worth of precious metals, whatever the value of those precious metals are in $10 will be able to buy you the same amount of stuff as it could when you put it away. So the purpose is wealth and capital preservation. Plus, man can't make it. So the greed, you know, man's greed cannot cheat and legislate more gold.
Hi, friends. Do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released. That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. So what caused the price of gold and silver to go down recently?
You have natural market fluctuations, which are ultimately driven, like I said, by the creation of currency. Then, as you get a strong upward trend in the market, when they started the Federal Reserve, which is the greatest disaster in American history, granted, you know, we've survived this long because of the, you know, innovativeness and just hard drive of the American people. I mean, they're wealth-creating subjects, and they do a good job at it. But they created the COMEX, the Commodities Exchange. They gave people the ability, it was especially on a large scale, they gave the Treasury, the Fed, and government ability to manipulate the price of metals to essentially try to discourage people from owning them. When the demand increases the government's ability to manipulate, it goes up. Once it starts going up like we saw a couple years ago, then you get what I call institutional buying. You get like Fidelity Magellan, the largest mutual fund in the world. They pile into the metals. They put a top on it, say the top 20-30% of the market. You know, you have gold from, say, 9/11. I look at the world economically, as a completely different post 9/11 event than I do pre. When people are trying to watch the stock market go back to pre 9/11, there's not even the same world. There's nothing similar. So from 9/11 till now, we've seen gold essentially go from 300 to 1300, but we saw it all the way up to almost 1900. But if you look at the graph, there was an extremely steep incline at the top, and like I said, it was about the top 30% that was put on there by Fidelity, Magellan, and a bunch of other institutions like this. Then what happens is they can do what's called shorting the market. It's just gambling. They short the market by buying contracts that say it will go down, and they get enough of them, and they leverage it down, and then it slides down, and then they get people to panic and dump their metal, and then you get a downward slide, and then you get down to the bottom like we are now, and you go back up. So essentially, sorry, I'll finish real quick. People need to look at the trend lines, and they need, you know, obviously when the market's just racing up, that's the time, if you want to invest, look at some numismatic coins. When it's down like it is now, this is literally a beautiful time to invest. Based on dollars created and everything, the metals are way below inflation rate.
So why is it that the metals are low now? You're saying they're trying to make people dump their gold and silver?
They did make people dump their gold. They did it last year. There was the federal government had, well, the central banks, along with the federal government, the big slide-off started last April. The day before the big slide started, or maybe it was 2 days before, Obama met with the CEOs of like the top 15 world central banks, and it's a documented fact, it's not a conspiracy. And they met, and the next day or two, they started to issue massive short contracts. The reason was the actual world gold reserves had dried up. 50% of the reserves the reserves had dropped by 50% in just the previous 6 months. That's the greatest drop ever in history. And what they do is they lease gold out and then claim they have it on their books. Well, it was coming to the point where they couldn't. There were so many delivery contracts. People were requesting physical metal. The central banks could not deliver. So what they do is they short the market and they try to create panic selling. It worked to a degree. A lot of it had to do with they pressured Cyprus into giving them all their gold to give them a temporary Band-Aid. Cyprus had a massive amount of gold through, I don't remember the name of the Russian bank, it's huge, which is part of the reason we're over there messing with Cyprus and Ukraine and Russia. There's a lot of, you know, it's where Russia washes all their gold. And so essentially they did manipulate it down. It's easily documented. See, they have contracts to deliver. So people said, we want to take delivery of our gold. Say they did that at 1700.
How can you tell we're at the bottom now?
Just, I think graphically, you go through peak valley convergence. I mean, you can look, any bull market has to have healthy peaks, valleys, and a convergence phase. Whenever a market's going up and up and up and up and up, people love it. But that's not natural, that's not normal, it's not nature. And so if you look at the peak, and then you look at the valley, and then you go through a convergence phase, it's like taking a spring and hitting it to the side where it goes brrrr, and then it starts to flatline. If you go back through history on the market, you can see that's what healthy markets do. We have gone through the last few months, the oscillation band has tightened and tightened and tightened. You know, it's ranging from like 1290 to 1310 now, which is about as tight as it's been. I mean, it's just a couple percent for months. And so we're getting to the end of the convergence phase where it's just flatlining. Supply meets demand. Everything's equal. Something will happen. People begin moving back into the markets, or even the investment houses will start moving back in. They'll get tired of the paper. They're going to look and say, look, there's value in the metals. And then here we go again.
Amazing. I know a lot of people have invested in oil futures, but when I read about what's happening in North Dakota and other states are suddenly finding more oil reserves, it makes me wonder, how smart is that?
The sad truth of it is the price of oil is severely manipulated as well. I know they've got a lot of people convinced there are these great shortages and I know people that are the head of oil exploration for Exxon North America, and they disagree. And even though we're finding oil, what that is just giving us energy sufficiency. I think if they let oil operate on a free market, you're probably right, it would go down. But it seems like OPEC dictates the price of oil, and I think it's a lot like gold. If gold on the world market is $1,300, who's going to sell it for $12 when they can liquidate it for $13? That's the thing with gold or oil. Oil is gold. It's liquid cash. Any amount of barrels of oil you have at any given time, you can instantly liquidate into the marketplace. There's never a glut. So people, because of that, they won't sell below the market. So it would take, you know, when they orchestrate reductions, that's pre-planned 2 months earlier by OPEC. So futures, to me, well, futures are gambling. You're not owning a commodity. People will say, oh, I can leverage more. And I love this one. They'll say, I can only lose the amount of money I have invested. And they actually will say that with a straight face. But because what they hear is that they're putting $5,000 or $10,000 in and they're leveraging a massive amount of barrels of oil. Well, small movements consume that money fast. Once, if you get down below a certain point, your money's gone. You don't get to hang out and play. So if you have futures on something and you're betting it's going up or down or whatever you're doing, if it goes outside of a certain parameter during that exercise period, your money's gone. It's just instantly gone, and you don't have a choice to wait to recuperate it. So I personally, it falls into the category of foolish investing. Like I said, I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed. It's gambling. People who do research will find out 94% of people lose on futures contracts. That is the number, 94%, you can document it. It's the people that make huge money on futures are the brokerage firms that sell them. 20-some dollar drop looks like a lot in gold. It's less than 2%. Metals have a little volatility to them. It's just natural. It's what they do. So it kind of comes and it goes. And I don't chase the day-to-day activity of the metals. I'm far more interested in long-term trends. People who own it and watch it on a daily basis should not have it. That is not the point of having it. It's to secure and preserve their wealth over for permanent. They have an asset no one can take away. It's never lost its value in all of history. I mean, it fluctuates, but it's never become worthless overnight.
So your advice, just to summarize our show today.
Well, my advice is balance. There's always a bit of speculation on, is it down? My advice is buy a balanced, tangible assets portfolio. Put your money away and have it treat you well and be safe and secure for the long haul, buy a balanced portfolio. If you want to try to get in and get out in 6 months and make a bunch of money, then you're going to have to pick one of the commodities that you think is going to make the biggest move in that period of time. And again, that's your prerogative. But, you know, balance is always the key. Everything in moderation.
Your best advice for us is to go to coinsplus.com. And then if people need help, somebody there can navigate through the murky waters, and hopefully we come out of it okay. I know there are a lot of people doing survival shows and talking about how we're going to make it and we might have to barter. And, you know, thank you for giving us your thoughts. Is there one last comment you'd like to make to the preppers?
Well, you know, I think at this point, if people have questions, just give us a call. Our toll-free number is 877-TAP-COIN. TAPCOIN or 877-827-2646. I mean, there's a lot of comments I obviously can make. People who have listened to me probably could figure that out by now. Precious metals have been the pinnacle form of wealth since the beginning of written human history. People believe in the Bible. It's mentioned in the second chapter of Genesis. It's the highest rabbinical word is used to describe it, which is Tov, which is the same word that was used to describe the creation. Health, you know, basically health, wealth, prosperity, investment, and then it's used throughout the Bible as wealth and blessing. You know, it's the first gift Christ got when he was on earth. We know that the Bible tells us people are casting their gold and silver in the streets on the final day of judgment, so we know that it lasts all the way through human history, and then there's countless mentions of gold all throughout heaven. So it has meaning scripturally, and what we've seen with mankind's history on earth, it's always been the center of everything.
That's,
I mean, it's It's behind the scenes. People are chasing paper that don't know any better. The people that really know better are dealing in large quantities of precious metals. So you never go wrong owning it. If you watch it on a day-to-day basis, you might go nuts. But if you want to preserve your capital and not worry about the CEO of a company lying and or the government coming in, and you know, you talk about confiscation. I mean, if you ever, you know, if they want to harass you for anything at any time, they can shut off all your accounts instantly. You can be subject to even identity theft and have your accounts gutted. But when you own precious metals, as long as you keep it secure, it's anonymous, it's transportable, it's immediately liquid pretty much anywhere at any time, it's recognizable worldwide, and we may need that.
That's a good word for us, Kevin. Thank you. You have been a pleasure and a delight. I so appreciate you being on our show. Will you come on again sometime?
You bet.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.